Hey, Chef Fede, what's going on? Jibuya Malume YouTube, and welcome back to Malume's Mind.
Disappointment will always be disappointment. Mm-hmm. And whether you're dealing with it or not, you will feel it. Ray-Bans and
catamarans. Hey, Chef Fede, what's going on? It's your boy Malume YouTube, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Malume's Mind. Today, I'm not alone. I'm with Kamohelo Laka. Kamohelo Laka, as you guys call her, in the comment section.
Hi, guys.
And this is going to be a cool conversation. You guys know Kamu is a good friend of mine. We're very close. I'm currently in her apartment right now, shooting my name is Mike in Cape Town, because we're keeping it consistent for you guys. Today's conversation is a lot of fun. It's about entrepreneurship. And a lot of my friends have 9-to-5s. And this is one of my friends who actually is an entrepreneur outside of being a student and having a job like on campus, which we'll touch on later. But Kamu's an entrepreneur. I think I've seen her create three companies last year, two to three companies, all within the same holding company. So obviously you've got like a, Laka Collections.
Yeah.
And then within that, you've done a number of things, which we'll touch on later.
Oh my God.
But this conversation is basically, if you're an entrepreneur in your early 20s, Kamu's 21, I'm 26.
My word.
Kamu's 22 this year. So we've basically been entrepreneurs our whole 20s. My whole life I've been an entrepreneur.
I guess I just started. Okay.
Yeah, Kamu just started. She's still a student, so she's like, you know.
I'm a new baby. I'm a newbie. I think in this podcast I'm gonna be the newbie to entrepreneurship, and then obviously you're like,
I've never had 9-to-5 in my life. I've always
you've been an entrepreneur your whole life. Really.
My whole life, yeah. So I've worked in the past, but yeah, we'll touch on that later. Anyway, so today we're speaking about business. I want to give you guys a bit of a breakdown, business inspiration, why we started, you know, the education system, how we feel about that, you know, the risks that come with businesses, how much money we make from our businesses. How we started, the procedures, the challenges, you know, the hard moments. When did you feel like it was thriving? When did you feel like it was, you know, not thriving? When did you feel like you were down? What do you do when you're down? How do you get started? How do you start with R0 in your account? So it's going to be a lot that we're speaking about today.
It already sounds like a lot. You already mentioned some of them. They're like, oh my God, am I going to tell them? Am I going to tell them how much I'm making? Oh my God.
Yeah, scary, 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 scary. But yeah, man, just to get started, I think the best thing to do is to tell you guys, you know, welcome to the podcast, like I said already. If you guys are new to the podcast, we would appreciate any form of engagement. Like I'm talking about like a like or a comment. If you're on Spotify, give us a review. Do listen to us on Spotify if you're on YouTube and other streaming platforms. Because we're everywhere, baby. We're really trying. We're trying to do this consistency thing for you guys. And this is week 3, being consistent.
Shout out.
Week 4.
That's good.
Which is good. Like, obviously, we've been posting the whole year, but now we've, you know.
You're more consistent.
Which, because there's less pressure, because right now it's based on, like, where I am, where my gear is. Before, it was, like, a lot of people as well.
Okay, which is nice. I feel like that makes it more flexible for you there.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Flexible, yeah. So, I hope you guys are also, like, understanding that, you know, I'm a sliding Lucas too. I'm going to shoot them when I get back from Cape Town. But this is what I can do right now. At the end of the day, it's about giving you guys consistent content, you know.
Those guys said, ish, the main members are not here, but I'll just give you something.
I'm giving you something until you guys...
Sorry, that was your cue to be like, no, that's not the case.
Oh, but that's what they say in the comment section. But anyway, so I think we'll start with you. I've been speaking quite a bit. I'm going to take a break.
Okay. I think I'm not speaking because, like, I don't want to interject, like, while you're speaking. Because then it's just like, who do we listen to? Because then it's like, are we fighting to speak? That's why I'm quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. What am I supposed to say?
Who are you? So what do you do? What are your companies?
Okay.
You know,
Okay. Hi. My name is Kamu. I am a student. Okay. I have a job though on campus. So let's not call it like a job, but it's a job. Okay. Hey, can I play sleep? It's a job. I have businesses. Business. I think it sounds weird. I'm not used to it. I feel like I don't think about it and say, okay, I have businesses. But when other people speak about me, they say, oh, you have this business. I'm like, oh, shit, that is something I do have. But okay, I don't know what else to say. Yeah. I have Laka Collections. It's clothing. It's a clothing line. Yeah. I also have a
form of jewelry with the beads.
I kind of discontinued those.
But it's something that you've done.
Okay, so I think maybe we saw like that. When I started this whole thing of actually like, and the reason I started was because I'm like, I am a broke hun. I need to fix that. So, and I'm very business minded. So I decided, you know what, let me try waist beads. Also because I was interested in waist beads and I wanted to wear waist beads, but I couldn't find waist beads. So then I made for myself and I'm like, you know, I'm going to sell these. So the thing I started with, waist beads. And then after sort of getting the hang of waist beads, I was like, let's move on to actual things now. Like,
I think with the waist beads, I think you saw a gap in the market because I remember you, she had bought a bunch of beads and then she wanted to make herself her own jewelry, so her own beads. She posted on her IG status and someone was like, yo, bro, are you selling? So she saw like demand and she's like, okay, cool. Whoa, people are asking me you know, if this thing is being sold. And I don't know where to buy waist beads. I had to make my own waist beads.
Yeah, so
let me sell a couple.
Exactly.
And then she started making it herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you right now, that didn't necessarily work out as it should have. Because number one, when the money came in, it came out. Okay. The
second let's make it a little bit easier for them. So now you've got the whole
waist bead.
No, you got the whole waist bead thing, got the market, you're excited now.
Okay.
Take them through the steps that you did as a new business. Because that was one of your first new businesses.
Yeah.
It failed because you stopped and lack of marketing, in my opinion.
Exactly. I was gonna add that to the list.
Take them through the steps from the beginning. So you get the waist beads, you see the demand, now you start making.
Okay.
Then what happens from there?
Okay, so now I start making waist beads. So the first thing I need to figure out is I need to put together, if someone DMs me saying, hey, I want to purchase, what's the way forward from there? So then I was like, okay, that's when I started. I wrote on my notepad. And I basically created, you know how like if you mess with like an established company, you get like an automated message.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically created like an automated message. So when someone DMs me saying they want to order, it's an automated message basically saying, hey, thank you for, you know, texting or messaging. And then I was like, okay, in order to process your order, this is what I want from you. You're going to give me measurements. You're going to give me which ones you want and how many. And then same time, I also in that same message, I'm telling you that for it to actually like proceed, I need, you have to also send me confirmation of the payment. And that same thing, I'm also sending you my bank account details and also tell you how to reference it. Okay. And then, yeah, then you order and everything is basically the first step. Yeah.
Did that come from experience? Like, had you done something where you saw something in the past and you felt like, ish, I keep going back and forth with my clients, rather I have like a system and send them a message which basically gives them everything they need and everything they need to give me? Or was it like the first time and you're like, no, this is the best thing to do?
I learned while doing it. Like when someone messaged me, the first person that messaged me talking about ordering and I decided to actually go ahead with this thing, I realized that I was sending messages that were kind of, it seemed like they were all over the place.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not a good idea.
So then you decided to now systemize your
business. Yes, exactly.
And basically make the exchange of information
easier and like straightforward. Yeah, exactly. And also it's just kind of like, I don't want the consumer to come back to me and ask me for something I could have easily given to them knowing that they're going to want it.
Yeah.
Like you can't necessarily say, okay, someone's going to order. And then you don't necessarily give them the information about where to pay or how to pay. I must first ask you now, okay, how can I make the payment? I don't think that's nice. Yeah. I don't think it's a smart move regardless. Like the easier it is for the consumer to make the purchase, the better.
Yeah, 100%. So, and then from there, what was your next step after that?
Okay. And then from there, obviously then packaging was important. I was like, okay, how sharp?
And is this happening? Like, have you sat down and be like, okay, cool, I want to do this company.
No.
And for me to do this company, I need packaging, I need a thingy, I need marketing. Or you just there like, okay, cool. Okay, intro message. Okay, what would be cool? Okay, packaging.
Okay, so for example, people were not ordering. I did not know that this was happening. But when I decided that it's going to happen, I was like, okay, let's say someone buys. This is when now it's actually established. I'm saying people can order, okay? I don't know when I'm going to put this thing in. So I'm like, okay, what would look cute? So now I'm just sitting at home and I'm brainstorming what would work. And then the next thing I did was I need to find packaging places. I need to find places that sell packaging. So then I Googled places in Cape Town, okay? Packaging in Cape Town. There's one, I found one, I can't remember the name now because I haven't been there in a very long time, which is bad, by the way, for your business, but we'll get to that point. Looked for packaging and then found a place that sold and then bought them. And then once I got my first order, that's when I started seeing exactly how I wanted to package them. My first few orders that came out didn't have like a sticker with like a collections. The ones, like I think after four orders or something, that's when I started getting stickers, because it's only after I have started the process of selling them that I was like, okay, I actually want it to be better like this. I actually want this to look like this. And then I got a company that had made stickers, and then I got the stickers and then started rolling out the packaging with the stickers with my logo on it. So yeah, I did not have a system. I created the system as I was doing it.
Yeah, and those are the main things. Intro message, packaging, product, creating product.
Then we just exchange.
And I know for her, like one more touch on this company. Another thing that really like affected her was the time it makes to actually do the beat. So now like she wasn't getting a crazy amount of orders. She was getting a fair amount of orders. But you know, the beads were taking long to produce. So now if there was a crazy amount of demand, it was going to really affect your lead times because you wouldn't be able to do it in time.
No, I wouldn't.
But
also,
you would have obviously expanded your company.
Yeah, no facts.
Yeah.
So now
speaking on what you've been saying, man, because mm-hmm. now you're gonna speak on the lead time. That's not the main thing. Like, if you guys look at this example of Kamo starting this company, and this is for the people that are listening that are young, she started the company. She didn't sit down, and there's pros and cons to this. She didn't sit down and say, okay, cool, I want to start a company. Let me do an Excel sheet. Let me look at all of my costs. Okay, my costs are this. This is the time it takes me to do this. These are my other, you know, my fixed costs. Like, I have to have a place to do this stuff. I need to pay rent. She didn't do all of those steps. She dived right into it, and her diving right into it made her learn everything the long way. But as she's learning, and she's learning it through experience, which equips her way better for the next business or for improving on that business venture. So I know a lot of people always have these ideas like, yo, I want to do beads, I want to sell this, I want to do this service, and you're so scared to get started because of all this planning. Sometimes it's okay to just scrap the planning out and just start doing what you think you need to do. And then as you're going, you will learn. Because if Kamo sat down and planned for ages and ages, I think, of course, I believe in planning, would have been much more better, much more effective. But because she is a bit, I think she's very stubborn. She doesn't like learning from other people. She wants to learn herself. She's very stubborn. She wants to learn the hard way. That made her more street smart. You get me? Now she knows how to get a supplier for package. She knows how to get a supplier for this. She knows, okay, cool. Next time I do the next company, I need to consider the lead times when I actually create this thing. I need to factor that into the pricing. Because now if it's taking me 2 hours to do this, this thing has high value because it's 2 hours of my time. You get me? Mm. If I'm adding the stickers in the packaging, now it's branding. People are associating these beads with the brand. There's importance in actually doing the packaging. Mm. So even you, like, I'm very proud of you because, like, subconsciously, you knew the importance of branding. Mm. Through you going and finding a sticker supplier, designing a stamp for your thingy just to give beads out. Like, those stickers, someone looks at it and scrunches away after like 30 seconds.
Right? Like, once you take the beads out, that's done.
That's done. But now there's branding, there's respect, there's this thing as an existing entity outside of Kamolaka.
I think the only thing that I knew walking into that was branding. I just knew that we live in a time where people care about what something looks like that they're buying or spending their money on, not necessarily the quality, I'm not gonna lie. Like, for example, okay, we'll not talk about the established brands, but like, I just feel like if you can sell aesthetics, but that's the world we live in. You can sell aesthetics. Your product can be absolutely average, but as long as the aesthetics of it are kind of like of high quality, people are going to make the purchase. People are going to want to be able to make the purchase and then want to snap it. Because why? It looks like an aesthetically pleasing thing to have and show other people that you have it. So that's the only thing. Because, I mean, guys, social media, that's how social media works. That's why aesthetics are where it's at right now. So,
facts. Yeah. And in that, like, in your packaging, putting the sticker, she makes it snappable.
Yes.
Her making snappable allows for more clientele.
Yeah, it increased the reach. Now, the only issue is that the people that were actually making the purchase are, I think it's people that are not necessarily people that like snap like that. So I also noticed this with my dresses. Like, it hardly happened. Like, people
with your watch, your dresses.
Yeah, my dresses, like a collection, like clothing line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
just when you speak, you give people context. We don't know what you mean when you say your dresses.
Oh, sorry.
There's a new viewer that don't know you.
Sorry.
She thinks he's Beyonce this way.
No, what? No. Joking. I'm comfortable because I'm speaking to him and I know he knows.
Yeah.
But okay, sorry about that. To be inclusive. Lago Collections is a clothing line. Okay, under Lago Collections, there was jewelry, which was the beads. Okay, then there was also like clothing. And my bestseller was a dress that I titled called Bella. Okay, so people would purchase Bella, but I wouldn't get snaps back with people like posting that they, you know, purchased it and how it looks on them. You know, so that's why I feel like the marketing part of it didn't necessarily happen that great. But okay, we're still on the branding thing. Point is, the branding is important because people can snap it and that will increase your reach.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. Yeah, 100%. Okay, so that's who you are.
Which is, oh my God, actually, I don't think I answered who I am. You, we did. Somehow went into...
We did, you did. You answered who you are.
No, that's not me saying I want to answer it now. That's me just saying...
No, I know, I'm just saying you did touch on it. You explained that you're a student and everything. Okay. Explain what you do.
Okay. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and then in terms of
your turn.
Most of you guys know who I am, you know, Malumi YouTube. With me, it's a bit different. So with me, a lot of YouTubers create content on YouTube and they make money in two ways. They make money from AdSense, so the platform paying you, as well as brand affiliations or brand deals. You get me? a lot of YouTubers I know, I think I can count one of YouTubers that treat YouTube like a business the way I do. So with me, I've set up a whole company. I've set up a whole production company on the side, which does the content for Tato Rampedi and other content creators. And I've basically hired editors, I've hired camera people. Some people I hire them on retainer, some people I hire them on a consistent monthly basis. I've got like a management team which does my, my communication. I've got a team that does my books and my accounting and my taxes. So I've systemized being a YouTuber, made into a business because of my degree and because of, you know, how I do things. And with me, like, I don't even know where to start, how to speak about my business. But essentially, I am a production company.
Okay.
That produces content across multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And
why do you have an engineering degree sitting?
Sitting?
Yeah.
It's not sitting. It's being used every single day.
No. Okay, maybe the words I use made it seem like I'm saying like it's just sitting. I'm basically trying to say you're basically an engineer by profession. No, you're not by profession.
By qualification.
By qualification, yeah. But you don't use that qualification. Yeah. Why is that? Why did you decide that, you know what, I don't want to be an engineer as much as I have this qualification to become one. This is the route I want to take. My question basically is, why did you decide to be an entrepreneur instead of having a job?
I think it's because my whole life, bro, like I saw my parents, my mom working at 9 to 5, complaining every single day. Comes back from the office, complains about this person, that person. I know so many names that people that she's always fighting with.
Mm.
And then my dad also wouldn't complain, but he'd come back highly stressed.
Mm.
Then I saw him move away from the 9 to 5 and he started being an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Then I remember pretty much every single week, my mom would be like, yo, bro, Tato, whatever you do, this is like in grade 8, bro.
Mm.
I'm like 13, 12. Whatever you do, please, in the future, do not work for somebody.
Crazy.
So I think she was literally just conditioning me every single week. And I would just laugh it off.
Mm.
But like, she was painting a negative picture. Shout out to Mumsy for real. She was painting a negative picture with me having a 9 to 5.
Mm.
So subconsciously, I just knew that I wasn't going to do
that. That's not an option. It's not a route to take.
And then now, I remember my degree is very hard for me. I really struggled with my degree. Mm. It wasn't an easy journey.
Mm.
Like a lot of failure, a lot of trial and error, a lot of learning.
Mm. Shout out to you for still finishing.
Yeah, and in that, I was like, dog, am I going to really like be doing these things every single day?
Yeah.
Like I wake up at 9 and I try to fantasize about it and I try to make it like this beautiful thing. Mm. And I struggled, bro. I was like, yo, okay, cool. I'm going to get like, you know, get into my car, dress up semi-formal, go to my job, problem solve, apply these strategies, you know, have a team above me. Eventually the team will be below me.
Mm.
Eventually management position, get this new car, get a bike, do something crazy. And then a bachelor, get a piano in my house.
Mm.
And I was still like, it sounds like I'm kind of telling myself what I have to do in order to have the life that I want to live.
Mm.
I want to do a job that gives me the life I want to live now while doing that job. You get me?
No.
With the 9 to 5 thing, with being an engineer, it's like I was going to work from 9 to 5 every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Being unhappy.
But you're telling yourself that you're going to be happy.
So I basically tried to brainwash myself and say that 9 to 5 is going to be okay for me. I'm going to be okay with this thing. And that
didn't work.
My brain was like, no.
Yeah.
You don't like that.
Mm.
You get me? So I tried to fantasize it. I tried to make it look nice. Mm. And I couldn't. So then I had the realization that like, why would I then go try fantasize this job for me to work a 9 to 5 to get paid to only enjoy my money on weekends, only enjoy my money on like in June or enjoy my money in December.
Just the first 2 days after getting paid.
Yeah, not even that. I mean, my degree was going to give me a good salary.
Mm.
So I was going to have money for the whole month. Mm. And I'm very good at what I do
degree-wise.
So I was going to excel and easily be within leadership positions within a matter of like 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay.
You get me? I've got that confidence in my degree
and
my mind.
Her.
So I wasn't going to suffer. So it wasn't about the money even.
Mm.
It's like, do I want to work this job that I don't even have an attraction to in order to live the life I want to live when I've got a job, which I've got a side hustle, which I'm doing, which allows me to live the life that I want to live and generates income.
Okay.
You get me? So for me, it was a quick decision. Like, I thought about it as a quick thing. Okay, rather I become a full-time content creator.
Mm.
And then I had a game plan. My game plan was be on the ground for as long as possible.
Mm.
Learn everything. Mm. Learn how to be a YouTuber. Learn how to edit. Learn how to be on TV. Learn how to do radio. Learn everything. Learn podcasting. Learn how to shoot a reality show. Learn everything. Being Tato Rampedi, being the person that's doing it. And then from there, once you've learned everything on the ground, which is basically the first 5 years of working, if you think about it.
Mm.
First 5 years of working, 9 to 5, you're doing all the groundwork.
Yeah, true.
And then from there, you become a leader in the industry because you have experience.
Yeah.
So I said, let me give myself as much experience as possible. And then from there, okay, cool, I got the experience. Let me invest as much as possible in myself, start getting crazy gear.
Mm.
And then from there, okay, cool. Now I'm at the point where let me make all these things into companies and businesses. I know production. I know how to lead a team. I know how to lead a director, an editor, someone on lighting, all these things because I've shot shows.
Mm.
You get me? So now what can I do? I can start a production company. Mm. I know the whole supply chain. No one can lie to me or rob me.
Mm.
I've learned how to shoot property content. I've learned how to use cameras at a level that I couldn't use that before.
Mm.
Now when I hire someone that's doing cameras, they can't lie to me.
Mm.
You know, they can't charge me a crazy amount because I'm like, I know your job and I can do your job.
Mm.
If I'm on set or if I'm working at the company,
I know exactly what I'm going to be paying for.
Exactly. I can edit.
Mm.
I can edit sound. I can edit video. I can edit lighting. I can do all these things. So it's like my game plan was to be on the ground, do what I love, travel, do all these things, and then eventually form all these things into companies.
Okay.
And try to leverage my brand and to create some sort of product or service which my following can purchase.
Yeah.
So that leveraging my brand and creating a product or service is coming.
Yeah.
I've tried and edited a couple of times. Mm. I had sold merch 3 times.
Mm.
And all of those times was very successful.
Mm.
Like over 50, 200 sales.
Nice.
Each of those times.
Nice.
You gave me profits. I was a student. Like my first source of income was actually from merch. Like outside of
crazy.
AdSense and stuff. I was making a lot of money from merch.
Because
I made this big investment. It's been like, okay, at the time it was big. Now I'm thinking like, what? Big investment. It's been like 2, 3, 4K.
It was a big investment.
It's been like 2, 3, 4K.
Mm.
Bought some merch. I bought it in bulk.
Mm.
I was like, you know, it's better for me to buy this clothing in bulk versus me buying it one by one. Because when you're ordering clothing or products, the more you buy, the cheaper.
Okay.
Because then obviously you can spread the cost of logistics. Spread all those costs.
Mm.
Cool. Got the merch. Promoted that merch like I was insane, and it was selling like hotcakes, bro. Like my guenya, bro, on the side in the morning. I was selling. And every week I'd get like 10, 15, 20 sales, maybe 7 sales. Bro, I'm making my profit back. But now obviously I'm struggling with like sizing because I've bought the stock. I only have mediums left. This person wants an extra, extra large, an extra, extra, extra small. So like as I'm doing these things on the groundwork, I'm learning about like, you know, selling products. And I'm learning about selling services through being a YouTuber. So I think that my point is, in everything that I've been doing, I've been very open-minded in the fact that I'm learning this thing to use a skill in the future. You get me? Not, I have to kill this thing and execute this thing now and this one must be my end and beyond. No, if I do the merch, I moved on.
Did the merch, moved on.
So, okay, cool. I'm spending so much time, you know, going to go deliver merch and everything. I only can do, I've told 50 to 100, but I can probably do max of 150 because of my following. Let me stop this thing now and go focus on what? My following. So I left merch along long ago. And I've been pushing myself, trying to get my name out there more, trying to get more respect.
Also, it's going to be easier to sell like that.
Trying to be known for quality. You get me? Yeah. So that's who I am. Whoa.
That's exactly what happened with me. So
yeah.
It's all good.
Let's go back to the notes.
Okay. But what about let's say, okay, I think we want to know your first, okay, of course, becoming a YouTuber is entrepreneurship on its own, and obviously handling that, dealing with that.
It wasn't the first time I was entrepreneurial, by
okay,
the way.
So tell us about your first time.
It was through my dad. So when I was studying my degree, you study things like, bro, you study how to make a factory room the most effective. Like how to make the flow of the room the best. You study what makes the room slow. If I'm making a factory, why is by step C, why is everything slowing down? Why is there B and A waiting off of C, but then D, E, F, G is the longest? Why not put C at the end? Why not move C or why not? You know what I'm saying? You study lot sizing. You study processes, flow. So my dad has a company which needed that. You get me? In Limpopo. So I'd go in, I'd go there and I'd basically consult.
Okay.
As okay, and that was my biggest goal in life. I wanted to have a consulting company.
Oh, okay.
Because like, yo, bro, I can consult for all these different types of things. Like, I know this shit. I did industrial engineering. I can work in any space. I can make anything better. That's my job, to make anything flow better. So that's my first like attempt at entrepreneurship, attempting to go to like taverns and small companies and looking at how they do things and then making it better.
And did you?
I did it like 3 or 4 times. I applied like lean manufacturing. I did a couple of times.
And how did that go?
It was good, but they never really wanted to pay me. So I kind of ended up doing it for like free, for experience to learn.
Okay.
And it was fun. Like I think I just enjoy leading a team or leading something or being able to look at something and make it better. I hate starting new things. I want to go consult and make things better.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of started off kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to speak about the education system. So and we should have started here actually. I believe that the education system... isn't what it says it's going to be. For the longest time, we would apply for high school, for university, and we were told that, like, you know, do this shit, and trust me, once you get it, you're going to be nah. But unfortunately, because of our economy in our country, people are popping out degrees from different places, and they're unemployed, bro. Mm. Because you're learning skills that are needed for the now, not for the next 5 years when you're done.
Mm.
Or you're learning skills that keep you working at the same level for the rest of your life.
Mm. Or basically, skills that can only work if you're working for someone else.
Exactly. And they put you in a system.
Yeah, that's the whole point of school.
For sure, really. I don't like. If it was up to me, the education system will teach you, and we watched a video about this recently, the education system will teach you about money, the value of money.
The economy.
The economy, inflation.
How money works with the economy.
What works with the economy.
What happens when the economy is doing this? What happens to money when that happens to the economy?
Yeah.
How is money related to also all the other countries in the world, and how they move affect how money's moving for you?
Yeah, and we're speaking about high school right now, when I say education system.
Yeah,
because with university, you obviously go study what you want to specialize in.
Mm-mm.
So if you go study money, you're sorted.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah. No facts.
Tax. I wish tax was an education system. I think that's insane. Like, I know, even with me, bro, I didn't know when I had to pay tax. I knew that everyone pays tax, but I didn't know when I had to pay tax until I consulted with somebody. And they're like, bro, you should have been paying tax 6 months ago. Then I said, damn, what? Then I had to literally look at my company books for 6 months.
And pay back.
I'm lying, not 6 months. It was the previous financial year. There was a financial year which I didn't do any tax returns. So that previous financial year, I had to look at everything and then pay tax. I had to pay like 2, 3, 4K for the company. Actually, I was still an SMME, like a small
business.
SMME. What is it? SMME.
It's
small, medium, whatever. Enterprise.
Micro, what?
Small, medium enterprise. Something like that, yeah. Small to medium enterprise.
Okay.
I don't know. I also don't know.
I'm also not sure what the exact
SMME.
Yes. Yeah. And the E is small.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it stands for.
You're killing me. Anyway, I need to pay tax and stuff. But my point is, bro, we should know about SMMEs. We should know about tax. We should know about inflation. Mm. We should know about when to pay VAT. You guys know when to pay VAT? People don't know when you have to pay VAT. Do you know when you have to pay VAT?
When you pay VAT, but I know when I do pay VAT.
When you have to. No. Like, not VAT. Like, as a company, there's a certain stage where you have to pay VAT. When you make more than $1 million in a financial year.
Yeah.
In a year, you have to be your VAT registered.
You have to be a VAT vendor.
You have to, basically. You have to be a VAT vendor.
Okay.
People don't know that shit, bro.
Yeah, I also didn't necessarily know
that. You get me? So it's like, I wish the high school education system had this type of information, which we need right now in our real lives, in order for us to be able to take the risks of becoming entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Because now, how am I going to become an entrepreneur when I don't know how to run a business? When I have to go study business in university to run a business?
You know what I think? I think like, LO shouldn't be teaching us how to throw around balls or how to play, like, or how to run. I feel like life orientation should be orientated on life.
But you know what happens now, yeah? Because I've seen in my high school in the past, what happens is they bring in people, external entities, who see this gap in the market, and they help you find the degree you should be doing. With us, we'll do tests in grade 11 and then they teach you which degree is best for you.
But that's not what life orientation.
Yeah, no, but it's okay. I'm just saying because it was associated to life orientation.
Oh, okay, no, but.
And it was for the purpose of showing you if you should be entrepreneurial or if you should work in this field.
Mm.
But 9 times out of 10.
But did you hear what you said? You basically said they would bring people to come and guide you on which career path you should take.
Yeah, so
like which degree you should do.
Yeah, which degree or which.
That's still saying we're basically bringing in someone to guide you which part of the system should you fall under.
Yeah, it's
not
true.
That we're not bringing the CEO of a company to come and tell you guys that, okay, this is exactly. And I think I personally feel like it's deliberate and that's just how it's set up. But I mean,
yep.
Yeah, we get that part. We get that. But knowing that, I think it's honestly on us to change that. You know, it's on us to realize that, okay, this is how it's set up. Like, I don't know if you guys, like, if you're on Instagram, you know there's always videos about how to escape the matrix. Who's this? There's this controversial guy that a lot of people like. Don't necessarily like, but I feel like sometimes he speaks sense.
Iman.
Andrew Tate.
Means like. Oh, Shem, I genuinely don't know who Andrew Tate is. I've never consumed his content. I've never heard his opinions. Yeah. I don't even know what he's done.
What's his story? I don't know his story. Nor would I even go and search what his story is.
But yeah, basically, the education system really needs to just shape up, bro, and teach people, like, outside of being. Because now I know they try to teach us how to. Oh, are you okay? They try to teach us, like, you know. How to study music. I did music in high school. Try to teach us music, try to teach us, you know, art. And they're trying, but genuinely they need to shape it up and make it better equipped for people to start businesses. And on top of that, bro.
What?
I forgot. What else? Teach businesses.
Makes sense why you went, bro.
Yeah, I was trying to remember my thoughts.
Okay, let me think. What am I thinking?
But anyway, we can move on.
Yeah.
Business, bro. A lot of risks with business.
Yeah.
A shit ton of risks. First risk, which I think is very obvious. You can have the best company. You can be like a collection selling 20 dresses a week, making bank. Then from there, jiggy jiggy boom, you can make one sale a week. Jiggy jiggy boom.
No sale.
No sales a week. Jiggy jiggy boom, you can't pay for your salary. Jiggy jiggy boom, you can't pay rent, you can't pay your supplies, you can't do shit. Mm. So the biggest risk with business is literally cash flow and managing that. And that's something I've really struggled with. I always make sure that I have enough money for as long as I need. I want to say how long, because I don't talk about.
Yeah, don't.
But like, at least for like 3, 4, 5 months into the future, 6 months. I must have enough money to pay myself for 6 months. Because now within those 6 months, if I see, okay, it's going down, I'm going to have to do something.
Mm.
There was a point last year where my money was really low, dude. Like I couldn't pay myself for the second month. I could pay myself for the next month, but I couldn't pay myself for the second month. So what did I do? I actually changed strategies completely. I sat down, I evaluated how I create content, evaluated how I make my money, and I evaluated why my money stopped coming. It stopped coming because people started gravitating towards short-formed content. There's no brand deals anymore for YouTubers. All the brand deals were coming to Instagram and TikTok. So I said, okay, cool. I spend every single week putting in so much effort into YouTube, which is growing a community for me, but I get paid on Instagram. Why not at least take half of the energy from YouTube onto Instagram and TikTok, which is what Lebo and I did. Lebo had 4K followers on TikTok about last year, November, December. Now he's sitting on 78K. I had like 20K, 15K. Now I'm sitting on like 71K. Lebo even passed me.
That was last year.
That was last year. Because we saw, okay, cool, there's a new market. This new market has taken our money away, which we were getting from as being YouTube, because YouTubers were hot last year or the year before.
Mm.
Now what's hot is TikTokers. So we literally re-strategized, changed the whole company, focused on short-form content, and we started creating content on TikTok. In that space, I grew a shit ton, more than 3 times, 4 times my original following, and I've gotten over 20 brand deals on TikTok.
Mm.
So now, with my point is, there's a big risk in entrepreneurship of going back to ground zero. But what's very important is to be adaptable and to be able to identify what's generating income.
Mm.
Even if it's a passion entrepreneurship journey, what's generating income and what can you do to stay relatable and new?
Mm. But I think that's
relatable,
like,
and current, sorry.
I feel like that pressure comes in when it's like, for example, it's a full-time job, like with you. Like with you, it's like also in the space that you're in, you need to move where the money is moving. Like, for example, it wouldn't make sense for you to just stick to YouTube when you're seeing that there's money elsewhere in the industry and not necessarily that. But I don't know. I feel like, for example, it always, you know how we, like even with just normal YouTube videos, it's always important to sort of niche down. So I feel like that's the same thing with like business as well. Like I feel like if you know exactly what you're doing and what you're focusing on, you know how to be better, or you learn, or you could potentially learn how to be better in that particular field.
Yeah.
Because I'm speaking on it from a perspective of, for example, if, for example, like waist beads didn't work out for me, which they didn't because I stopped them, so I moved to clothes, but I couldn't necessarily like run to something else in the same thing. Like you need to figure out why it's not working, because at the end of the day, it's still the same brand. It's still like a collections, right? But for example, it's things like the marketing was wrong, you know, that it had something that I had to completely...
D&E.
Hmm?
Your marketing did not exist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no marketing.
Yeah. Horrible.
I think we get it.
Marketing was horrible.
Yeah. But...
I'm joking. It wasn't horrible, but it could have been... could have put way more effort into it.
No, it was horrible. We can literally... Okay, cool, it was horrible. There was no marketing.
Because that company could have... If, you know, my honest opinion, if you took that business seriously and you did the right marketing and everything... You'd have people right now making beats for you.
True.
Selling or shipping orders out.
True. But also, I think because for me, it was like, this is taking too much of my time. It's taking too much.
Priorities.
Yeah, I had to, let's just let it go. We'll come back. If I ever get to a point where I can bring it back, I will. But for now, no.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make from what he said is that, yes, he had to move to where the money was going. But when you actually like doing a business or something outside of that, even if it's like, let's say it's not that industry, okay, you need to make it work. Like, if plan A doesn't work, plan A has to work. Like, you need to find a way to fix it, basically. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think that's something I did not do with, like, the beads. But I think, yeah, that no, I'm done. The point is, just if you can't necessarily change where you're getting your money, fix where your money's coming from.
Yeah, there's so many, like, frameworks which you can use. Like, the easiest one is the SWOT analysis. Everyone knows this. We learned that shit in high school. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And there's other frameworks like the lean manufacturing. There's a lot of frameworks which you can do. So if you have a company right now, this is a great piece of advice. If you have a company right now and you feel like, no, man, there's something wrong with my company.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing for you to do is to go into YouTube and search lean frameworks. So search lean frameworks or search industrial engineering frameworks, and then just watch YouTube and check the different frameworks. I'll try to put some of them in the description. But basically, these are frameworks which basically, even the root cause analysis, do the root cause analysis framework. These are frameworks which basically look at your business, look at how it's running, and then they tell you things which could make it better. You get me? Like with lean manufacturing, the whole concept is a lot of people think Gamo's selling the waste beads. The waste beads are too expensive. You need to pump in more cash to make it successful through marketing. With lean manufacturing, it's not how do we pump in more money. It's how do we actually spend less money so we can stay at the same competitive price. You get me? So Gamo, for example, with the packaging, maybe she's doing the stickers. Maybe the stickers are too expensive to produce. And she's buying 10 at a time. Mm. Go buy 100 stickers for the whole next six months because you know you're committing to this company for 6 months.
Mm.
You get me? Or change your mode of transport or change the way you do your beading. Maybe instead of actually, you know, selling waste beads that you make a little pamphlet which teaches people how to make waste beads, and then people can actually start new hobbies now.
Mm.
Now you remove the whole thing of people making the waste beads.
Mm, they can make them themselves. They just buy the stuff from me.
Make a little card, scan the QR code. The QR code opens 3 unlisted videos from Gamo teaching you how she does it. It's nice, it's private. You're paying for the course.
Mm.
And you get to make your own waste beads. And then you can speak and sell.
That's very smart.
How therapeutic it is for me to do this. You know, how I needed a hobby. Mind you, everything I just said now with the waste beads is trademarked. So we're going to sue you if we see that. She's going to make that shit next week. But yeah, my point is, you see how instead of trying to pump in more money into marketing, you look at the company, look at the flow, you say, okay, cool, how can I make this better?
Mm.
Identify your problems. And then, okay, cool, how can I be innovative? Wow, I should actually write a book.
I'm so dead.
That was a great piece of advice.
It was
a really Thank good you. Piece of advice. You going to do it, man? Nah? I'd do it if I was you. That would be silly if you don't do it. When
this guy said you better fucking do it.
Yeah, so we're speaking about the negatives, the risks, and there's so many more risks which we can touch on. But I also want to speak about the positives of entrepreneurship, which is why I actually made this podcast episode.
Okay, can we, before we go there, how about we start with this? I'm a student right now, I'm in high school, I'm in grade 9, 10, and I can see that I want to be rich. Yeah. I just don't know how.
Wait until the end of the episode and then we'll tell you how. Watch the rest of the episode.
Okay.
The positives, bro. What are some positives you experienced with entrepreneurship?
Like you, I like being in charge. Sorry.
Yeah, which is a big thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, continue. That's my favorite thing too. And when I say in charge, I'm talking about in charge of my time.
I think in charge in general.
You like being the boss lady.
Yeah, like I need to feel like I need to get stuff done. It just makes sense to me, innit? Exactly. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is that I like being in charge in the sense that, okay, at the end of the day, if you're suffering, it's your fault. See, the thing is, that's a problem with watching, like, you know when you watch motivational videos and, like, these people are saying, yeah, you're broke just because you're lazy and I don't care, you're going to stay broke. That's not a lie. You're just being very emotional. You're being very emotional and you're not hearing it. You're not trying to see the truth burns. Yeah, you're not trying to see that you're your own mountain. And at the end of the day, you're your own mountain. And the thing is, like, I like money. Yeah? I don't like money. I like what money gives me. I love comfort, right? For me to have comfort, I need money. So I have to what? I have to obsess over that thing that's going to give me what I want, right? So because of that, it's also part of the reason why I even started a business. Like, I even think of that side of things because I want to live comfortably. I come from a home where, like, I can't say I was comfortable. I'm still not. So for that reason, it opened up my eyes to the fact that if I want change, I am the one that has to lead it. Nobody's going to come and do
you're
it.
You're the enabler of your change.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah. So the positives of it is that at the end of the day, you create your future. Like, you decide what it is that you want for yourself. And I think that's a positive about it. Because tomorrow you can't say, oh, my job pays me only 500 rand. There's nothing I can do. That is the easy way out. You know, it's so easy to say, oh my God, I only get this much. I don't have money for petrol. I only get this much. I can't go out with you. I only get this much. You're using that as an excuse. No, if you actually really wanted to make more money, you would. You just don't want to. Why? Because it's a lot of work too. Do you know how much effort it takes that you have to sit down and have to start something when it's not working? Mind you, you put money into that, money you didn't have, and it's not working. The frustration. Some people are just, it's easier to not go through that. So the point I'm trying to make is the positives is you create your life. You decide what, you create your life, you decide what it is, how you're living, what it is you want for yourself for the future. And another positive is that, to be honest, that's my biggest positive. I don't think I care about any other thing except that.
Yeah. I agree with you. Controlling time. And for me, it's controlling the time. And it's the money, bro. Like, the money is amazing. Let me tell you something. There is power in money. No. And it's, people
he's
don't speak about
teary-eyed.
People don't
like,
speak about this, bro.
No.
There is so much power in cash flow, in investment, in fixed assets, in a diverse portfolio because you're in charge.
Facts.
You're in charge, my man.
Oh my God. It's okay.
I mean, you're in charge, bro. Like, for example, bro, my life, when I sit back and look back, my life is a movie. Bro, I have committed myself to living in Cape Town for 3 weeks this month.
Soft.
Because I have the cash flow to do so.
Soft.
And it's not something that you can just do. So
and it's
me,
not going to break the balance. Not that balance. You're doing it. It's not going to go back and have to live on BAP.
No. We're not shaking. We go back to caviar.
Oh,
do you understand the level? But my point is, bro, for me, it's given me so much. Entrepreneurship has given me so much time, which is beautiful. Because time allows you to be creative. Mm. Allows you to be innovative. Allows you to think.
I also think I like that about it. The fact that like it actually takes you out of your comfort zone. You actually have to sort of fight, like bring out the best parts of you, the smartest parts of you, the creative parts of you. You need to bring it all out of yourself. And I feel like that is beautiful. And like I feel like it has an element of making you feel like you're living, like you're alive, like you're doing something with your life. Dude, every day, same thing. Like every day. I feel like that's how it gets boring. That's how depression starts because you have nothing to look forward to. But when every single day there's a challenge, when every single day there's something to be fixed into, something to sort out, something to figure out, I feel like it's fun. It makes the journey of life fun.
Yeah, also, I mean, because I feel like you're shitting on 9 to 5 right now. 9 to 5 is because you're like, every day, same thing. Personally speaking, if I knew what I wanted to, where I wanted to be in life, my goals, my level of living, my standard of living, and my commitment to life, 9 to 5 sounds extremely amazing at the same time too. You go to work, you do your thing, you do what you're good at, what your niche is. You get paid every single month. When you get paid, you get to pay everything else. Security, you're secure. There's no risk. It's low risk. It's medium reward. You get me? It makes sense. It makes sense for raising families because families is a lot of risk. Kids need to eat. So a 9 to 5 also is very ideal. And they've made it very ideal.
Also, I'm not speaking about it like I'd never. Like, for example, after school, I'm going to have to step into a 9 to 5.
You've given yourself the mentality that you have to.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you don't have to, but point
I think
is,
you want to.
No, but like, wait. Point is that once I step out and I want an inflow of like consistent income, so a 9 to 5 is the easiest fallback.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not speaking like the way I'm speaking of it as though like it's something that you miss me with that bullshit. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm basically speaking on it like for what it is because I know I would get bored. Of like doing the same thing every day. If it's interesting, fine. You know, there are also people that prefer that.
No, can't be, bro. Some people some people actually love routine.
Yeah.
No, so I'm speaking from me. I'm saying like everyday me. No ways. I want my life to be different.
This is the same guy that said, I feel like you're shitting on 9 to 5 right now.
No. You're saying, I hear you. I was just saying, I agree with the fact that like the same thing every day. Miss me with
it. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like I'm basically like speaking for myself. Like, I like, hence I said, I cut you and I said, I like the creativity that comes with being an entrepreneur, yeah, or the thinking that has to come with it. The fact that you have to literally pull out the best part of you almost every day to make that one thing work. I think that is fun and interesting for me compared to, like, if I have a 9-to-5 that paid me a million every month, I don't mind doing the same thing every day.
I mind, bro, because now I can only spend a million after 5 and on weekends. I want to spend it Monday to choose the ones that don't. Anyway, guys, at the same time, I'm about to wrap up in like a minute. She asked me what piece of advice I give to anybody who wants to.
I wanted to ask you that.
You say, what would you give somebody who wants to start a company?
Oh, were they already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who wants to start a company but doesn't have any money and they're a student but want to be entrepreneurial? Bro, I'd honestly say it's very important to look at your own life, yeah, the life you lead. So, okay, cool, I'm a student. Mm. I go to class every day.
Mm.
I wake up, I pack a scaffolding, I go to class, I eat my scaffolding during lunch break, I go to classes in between classes. After classes, I go to extra classes, then I go home, chill with friends, I drink and whatever. That's your routine. You wake up. Then from there, from whatever your routine is, whatever you've painted, look at gaps in those routines where you could start a company, which start a company from something that you do yourself every day. So now in the morning you wake up, you make breakfast, you can say, okay, cool, maybe I could go into meal prepping. Then you do research on meal prepping. How can I meal prep for students? Maybe I can make meals for people at my risk. Maybe I could make 15 meals a day and then give it to these people, make it very affordable, make it homey. Okay, what do people miss in risk? People miss, you know, their mother's touch. So when I make these meal preps, they're not going to be simple, just fried chicken and vegetables. They're going to be stew, my boy. I'm going to be making pop. I'm going to be making things that people don't have access to in res. You get me? Then from there, you can move on to your day. If that doesn't work, now you're saying, okay, cool, I walk to school. I walk like 20 minutes. Bro, check how much one bicycle is. Save up, buy a bicycle, rent it out. Eventually, you get one, you get two, you get three, you get four. You have a whole network. Speak to the university. Look at the rules for that. Like, there's so many ways for you to become an entrepreneur. So the best way to do it is to look at your A to Z and back to A and see within your lifestyle, what would you want to make your life a little bit better? And then give it a try.
Okay. I think for me, the one thing I learned about myself is that I was so used to being taught. Like, I was so used to learning coming from like someone standing in front of me and teaching. And I realized that, like, with my academics in general, like, for example, you can easily step out of, like, just your classroom and Google things like, okay, how do we solve X, Y, and Z, you know? I wasn't used to that. Somehow, I was just used to the fact that being taught only occurs, or learning only occurs, when there's someone standing in front of you and, like, they are teaching. So my biggest thing is what he said, research. Like, you can make money. You just don't know where to start. Bro, and the lack of knowledge is what's stopping you.
Yeah, no, fully. I was going to make a quick statement.
Yeah.
Come on, I could stop everything we're doing right now, take all the money we have, move to an apartment, and go into e-commerce and become millionaires by next year, June.
Easily. Let's do it.
No, but you were saying. You get me? I'm saying, like, is that possible? Like, if we sacrifice lifestyle, sacrifice a lot of things, move into an apartment, say we're going to go into e-commerce and do research on e-commerce and Facebook Marketplace, we could run Africa.
Yeah.
Like, any one of you guys could do that. But now it's like, do I really want to go do all that research? Do I really want to stop my life? Do I want that disruption?
It's also hard because there's so many videos on things like e-commerce, for example. You have to go watch all of them so you can filter which one actually has the important information.
Also, yeah, guys, we're in a third world country, which means things are slow, but which means there is a lot of opportunities.
Exactly.
Like, become the leader of that industry now.
Mm.
For example, bro, like, dog, I get so mad at myself because I'm also very lazy, by the way. Like,
same.
As much as I'm an entrepreneur, very same. And I'm killing everything I do, I could be doing, like, 5 times more if I was just, you know, sacrifice some lifestyle and stuff. But, like, I'm on this earth to live life too. You get me?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna chop breakfast. You understand? No, chop breakfast means you're sad. I'm gonna chop life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my point is, bro, like, what is my point?
Your point is research and anybody can be rich.
Anybody can be rich. Yeah.
But, yeah, to be honest.
Or third world countries. My point is,
oh, yeah,
you can be the industry leader in whatever you do right now. Like, you see, there's Uber and Bolt, bro. You could actually try to do something like that in SA.
Mm.
You get me? You see, like, anything that exists in a first world country, you can easily take that
and bring it here.
And it's cheaper for you because they've done the research, they've done the market analysis, they've done the trial and error, they've done everything. They've seen what works, they've seen how the market responds. Just bring it in here.
And I think that, like, honestly, on, like, dude, if you're literally, like, in high school, you want to make money, show me, rekisa magwenya. Chemi sell muffins.
There's so much power.
Chemi sell sweets. So sell gum.
Yeah.
Like anything. The problem is you don't want to be seen as someone selling gum.
Yeah,
at school.
Stupid.
That's the other problem. But the problem is it's that gum business that will teach you how to have the computer business in the future. Or that's going to teach you how to have whatever business it is.
Yo. Yo.
Oh,
keep going.
Thank you so much, you guys. Oh, okay. You know, I come from, you know, I can't even know what the fuck I'm saying. Point is, guys, anybody can make money. It's okay. Pretty. The point is that how badly do you want it, or do you even want it? Okay. Yes, I am lazy. I would opt to stay the whole day in bed compared to doing anything, but it's the part of me that has experienced uncomfortability that pushes me to what? To strive to get comfort. Right. So you need to find that part of you that says, I don't want to live like this anymore, and use that to continue. Personally, anybody can make money. You just need to ask yourself also, how do you want to make money? And then the other thing is, once you do know how, if you're going to sell something for service, know who you're selling it to. Once you know who you're selling it to, you know how to cater it for them. That's marketing. And then from there, just go hard. Oh, don't spend the money that comes from it. I know the biggest thing I did with the waste is that the minute someone said they're buying something, I already had a plan for that money the minute it came into my account. It's not even a joke. And then what happens? 3-4 months
you're
down
the investing back into the business.
Exactly. 3-4 months down the line, I need stock. I can't even afford it anymore. I have to wait to get money elsewhere or someone to make an order before I can make their order. Cause why?
You're eating awesome baskets.
Exactly. And I ate the money. Don't eat the money.
Now, I want to leave the podcast on that high note. I appreciate each and every single one of you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this. I got an email. I got a message from this lady, and I hope she's still listening to the podcast. She said, Busi. She said, hey, Tato, love the podcast, but you're always speaking about dating and stuff like that.
Let's not lie. He is.
So, shout out to Busi. A big shout out to her. I changed pretty much this topic and made it what she recommended. I should speak about what you do. Speak about business. Speak about, you know, being black. So, we're trying to make the podcast a little bit more, you know, educational, but still fun. But speaking about real things, man. Because, like, black people, we like speaking about dating, gossip stuff. Yeah, change that.
Yeah.
It's up to us to actually change the platform.
Okay.
And make an effort. And it's up to you guys to also, like, allow for us to change it. Because I sell in Kamo. The reason why I don't change is because, like, when I do that stuff, people don't watch. Mm. And end of the day, this is my bread and butter. Mm. But thank you guys for watching the podcast. I appreciate each and every single one of you. We will definitely see you guys very, very soon. Just get up on it, girl, if you want it. Ray-Bans and catamarans, baby, give me a light. We'll be living the life. Ray-Bans and catamarans.